Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. You can email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We have Carol Markowitz to talk about Florida versus New York. We talk about also the Washington Post's bizarre fascination with this show and Turning Point USA's attempt to try to start an online educational program, which we will get done. It's very exciting what we are doing. You guys can support our show at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. At Turning Point USA, we fight hard to make sure that American values are passed down from one generation to the next at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Get engaged, get involved at tpusa.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We got some serious problems in our country. Suicides are up. Alcoholism is up. Drug addiction, over 100,000 drug overdoses in the last year. Small businesses are struggling. Double-digit inflation. Gas prices out of reach. Whatever's happening on the eastern border of Ukraine that the regime wants to care about. Our southern border is wide open. By the way, I'm going to the border tomorrow at an undisclosed location. I know I have a lot of fans there, I'm sure. Yeah, right. So I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to be, but we're going to the border tomorrow, so we'll be off tomorrow. We got a lot of problems in our country, but don't worry. The Washington Post, everybody, they're on the case. They're on the case because they wrote a multi-page article today about a thing that actually ended up not happening, but an idea that we had that almost potentially possibly could have happened around having people be able to go online for digital education. So this is what the Washington Post considers to be like breaking news. This story this morning, Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA Academy, not even what we call it, by the way, get the name right. Okay. If you're going to slander me, just get the name right, whatever. Had potential for $40 million in revenue by selling America First Education, potential partner suggested. So this was all just a potential deal that was going to come through. It ended up not happening. And it's an idea that we still have and we still are going to do around trying to empower parents to be able to withdraw from public schools to effectively teach their children or their grandchildren, their niece or their nephew around basic civics. Non-corrupted, uncorrupted science, I should say, American education, almost none of which is happening in our schools. Goes on to say that Charlie Kirk, the 28-year-old activist who boasts 1.7 million Twitter followers, has championed former Donald Trump's baseless claims that widespread fraud cost him the election and has scorned demands for racial justice. Oh, is that what we call it now? Called burning the entire country racial justice, followed the 2020 murder of a black man at the hands of Minneapolis police calling George Floyd a scumbag. He was a scumbag. I stand by that. At least they quote me accurately. Here's the point, is that with all the problems in the country, why is it the Washington Post is dedicating multiple pages of an investigation into a school, an online school that didn't even happen that we were going to do? And the answer is very clear. That we are really close to the target with the work we're doing at Turning Point USA, and we are going to pull this off. Make no mistake, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure out the best way to do online education / homeschooling / pod schooling and empower millions of parents that are not happy with public education. And that right there, according to the Washington Post, is a bigger threat than the border, drug overdose, and the inexplicable 40% in death increase for ages 18 to 64, but when you think about it, it actually does make sense. Once this ends up being successful, which we are going to do, and we're going to involve partners, many of which you've heard on the show, that right there is a backbreaker. It is a game changer for the people in charge of our country. If you are actually able to disrupt public education as we know it, then all of a sudden Randy Weingarten is way less powerful. It's nothing more than a clickbaity, nonsensical article, but don't worry. We're going to get this figured out. We're going to get this done. It's going to be big. We're going to empower millions of parents along the way. Okay, next story here. Pelosi, this is an unbelievable story. Pelosi's Capitol Police tried to sneak into Republican congressman's office dressed as construction workers and illegally took photos of legislative documents. Speaker Nancy Pelosi's Capitol Police are alleging to have illegally entered the office of Congressman Troy Nels, photographing confidential legislative products and grilling staff, according to reports. The police, now under formal investigation, stand accused of dressing up as construction workers and attempting another entry just 2 days later. So, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Nixon get impeached for lying about something very similar to this? But it wasn't even as flagrant as this. So there's so much here that needs to be investigated. Pelosi's, I guess this is the closest Pelosi will ever get towards loving construction workers, right? Like, yeah, go to the local Halloween store and go dress up as construction people. So this sitting member of Congress, Troy Nels from Texas, is alleging that Nancy Pelosi and Democrats have made Capitol Police go dress up in costume as construction workers to go into Capitol offices and to go take pictures of documents. Reports suggest that Capitol Police have built intelligence dossiers on those illegally investigated. The documents photographed, say Nels, quote, are protected by the speech and debate clause enshrined in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 6. Nels took to Twitter to explain the multiple incidents. Again, I'm going to read directly from his tweets because these are some pretty serious allegations. Breaking. Capitol Police Intelligence Division investigated my office illegally, and one of my staffers caught them in the act. On November 20th, Capitol Police entered my office without my knowledge and photographed confidential legislative products protected by the speech and debate clause enshrined in Constitution, Article 1, Section 6. 2 days later, on Monday, November 22nd, Thanksgiving week, three intelligence officers attempted to enter my office while the House was in recess. Upon discovering a member of my staff, special agents dressed like construction workers began to question him as the contents of a photograph taken illegally 2 days earlier. They had no authority to photograph my office, let alone investigate myself or members of my staff. So why is Capitol Police leadership maliciously investigating me as an attempt to destroy me and my character? Maybe it is because I've been a vocal critic of Speaker Pelosi and the January 6th committee and Capitol Police leadership and their handling of January 6th, the death of Ashley Babbitt, and the subsequent, quote, sham investigation. So the head of Capitol Police is a person by Yogananda. That's right, Yogananda. Okay, we got it. Yogananda Pittman was appointed as the acting chief of Capitol Police. I'm reading, by the way, from, I think this is National Pulse, is that right? Good website, nationalpulse.com, thenationalpulse.com. Pittman is responsible for, quote, operations concerning the safety and security of the U.S. Capitol. Goes deeper. Capitol Police Chief Thomas Manger confirmed the inspector general has now opened an investigation after receiving multiple congressional inquiries into the Capitol Police tactics. Such tactics include a deep examination of the social media feeds of individuals who have not been suspected of any criminal activity. Yet there's no inspector general report that I'm aware of that's meaningful or any sort of investigation by Capitol Police as to why Lieutenant Byrd shot Ashley Babbitt in the face on January 6th. This entire story kind of honestly provokes more questions than answers. And the questions are on both sides. I'm going to be very honest. The question is also, what is Congressman Nels worried they're taking pictures of? I'm just going to say that's kind of a thing. I think that's going to be part of the story. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. It's one of two things. Either Congressman Nels has like been cross-dressing or something, which I don't think he's, I don't know the guy. Sounds like a nice person. Or he has something really, really threatening to the regime and the January 6th committee they're taking pictures of. I think that's more likely, right? I think it's more likely that Congressman Nels, who again, I don't know, has something that Pelosi finds to be so threatening she has to send the Capitol Police to illegally enter the office of another congressman and photographing confidential legislative products and grilling staff and dressing them like construction workers, which is like the most bizarre part of all this. That's exactly right. This could be maybe he has dirt on Kinzinger or Cheney. This sounds a lot like Watergate, by the way. And in Watergate, they didn't go to the hassle of dressing up like construction workers. Okay, let's get to some sound here. I'm going to the border tomorrow. and I do not say this lightly, this woman is either pretending or is legitimately possessed by a demon. If you think this is just a material war, you're sadly mistaken. Play cut 29.
Okay. You're going to close the door. You stay right there before we move. Hey, calm down. Back up. Get your foot back in there. Ma'am, we're going to have to tase you. You're not going to like that.
I don't understand what you're telling me.
I don't know if she's pretending. What do you think? There's a spiritual component to trafficking human beings. She's a human trafficker. She traffics young girls so that they can, unfortunately, get raped along the way across the southern border. It's a massive humanitarian crisis happening in our country. I'm going straight to the front lines tomorrow. We'll be on the border. Producer Andrew's filling in on the show tomorrow. And then Thursday, I'm going to have a lot to share kind of from our experience on the border. I've been down to the border multiple times. It's not my first time. I'm going to a sector that I've never been to before, and we're going to see it firsthand. We're going to see firsthand what's happening on the southern border, the drugs flowing across, the guns, the crime. But don't worry, our leaders are super worried that Turning Point USA might be starting an online school. It's okay, everybody. If you're like me and my team here, you're spending countless hours in front of a computer screen or on a smartphone, and that can really do some damage for your eyes. You might suffer from headaches, sore eyes, digital eye strain, watery eyes, and fatigue. And how about your sleep? I didn't realize how much eye strain can hamper me from getting a restful night's sleep. But now I've discovered Blue Blocks Blue Light Glasses. That's Blue Blocks Blue Light Glasses. I know better. The glasses come in non-prescription, prescription and reading options. They have glasses for every need you can think of. They have stylish frames that have been featured in GQ and Vogue, but more importantly are backed by technology and tested to ensure they are the best. Blue Light for helping with digital eye strain, Summer Glow for helping with low mood and migraines, and Sleep Plus for improving your sleep. Mention my name, Charlie, and get 15% off your entire order. Go to blueblocks.com/Charlie to order. That's blueblocks.com/Charlie. They may just change your life, and there's no risk because there's a 100% money-back guarantee. That's blueblocks/Charlie. Check it out right now. So with us right now is someone very special. She does a great job for the New York Post, and she has fled New York for Florida. Can't wait to ask her about that. Carol Markowitz. Carol, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thank you for having me, Charlie.
You are a legend. So tell us, Carol, why did you move down to Florida? Why'd you flee New York? It's so nice.
It is. So I'm a lifelong New Yorker. So right off the bat, I'm not somebody who hates New York. I know New York gets a lot of conservative hate, but I kind of always enjoyed being a New Yorker, a lifelong conservative. I was born in the Soviet Union, so I never really had a problem being open about my conservative beliefs. The Russian community in Brooklyn, it's not just Russians, but it's sort of shorthand. We call them ourselves a Russian community, is very conservative. And so I always had sort of my community and my world in New York that was normal and sane. And it didn't bother me so much that there were so many crazy things going on around New York City, because my world was very much like I wanted it to be. And the Giuliani years, followed by the Mike Bloomberg years, really made New York a wonderful place to live. And my husband, who's also a lifelong New Yorker, we were planning to raise our kids in Brooklyn. The long-term plan was they were going to go to college. We were going to retire to Manhattan. We had it all figured out. And then COVID hits. And suddenly, my little world, while they're still sane and thinking that everything's okay, is suddenly not allowed to live how they want to live. Now, businesses close whenever the government says so. Schools close indefinitely, and very few people speak up about it. Masking of children goes on indefinitely, even though, you know, as we've learned in the last few days, there's really no reason for it. I mean, obviously, you and I and lots of other people knew all along, but as Democrats have discovered in the last few days, that maybe masking children was pointless, and they finally are facing that fact. So I love New York. I've always loved New York, but it became increasingly a crazy place to be and a crazy place to raise kids. And I couldn't do that to my three children anymore.
So you have to explain something to me. You're a lifelong New Yorker. I used to love New York. Now I can't even go to a restaurant because I won't get vaccinated. Right. So it's changed a lot. Can you explain the psychology of a New Yorker versus a Floridian? And I mean that in the sense of, you know, from not just from the mask mandates, but it seems.
No, right.
But what is it about New York, which I always consider to be this tough guy city? We're going to wear it on our sleeve. You know, we were able to persevere through 9/11. It was amazing what the city did. To all of a sudden becoming this fear-filled, you know, epicenter. And then Florida, the state that you would think would be super risk-averse, where you have people that are really worried that, you know, their golf cart lights are going to go out in the villages or whatever.
It's a concern.
Yeah, unpack the psych. Yeah, exactly. Hugely concerned. Unpack the psychological difference between a Floridian and a New Yorker. And I know we're using generalities, but it's generally true. So please help me with that.
Right. No, I feel like I have the answer to that, too. I really think that what happened here in New York was that COVID and woke culture collided at the same time.
It was so smart.
Yeah. Right around the same time that cancel culture really hit its stride, we got COVID. And suddenly you were worried about saying the wrong thing and your neighbor hearing you say the wrong thing, or your coworkers finding out that you think masks are pointless, or any number of things. And I heard this over and over and over again. And look, for a long time, I really did understand these people. I thought, okay, I get it. You can't speak up. You're afraid for your job. You're afraid for your like life. You're afraid for not your life. Nobody's going to come kill you, but you're afraid for to lose all your friends and to your community to hate you and all of this, because not everybody had this Soviet community that supports them like I had. And I get that. But what happened is, at least in, for me, is that the attack on children went on for so long that I could no longer forgive these people. I thought, okay, I get it. You don't want your boss to find out that you think that school should open. But now it's been 6 months and your kid has not been in school. Now it's been a year. Now it's been 18 months. When are you going to speak up? When are you going to speak up for your own kid? And what was really terrible to me was that so many people, I lived in Park Slope, which is a super left area, super rich area.
Mm-hmm, I know it. Yeah, sure.
So many people, they got their kids tutors, they got them pods, they went to stay at their like Long Island vacation home and sent their kids to full-time school there. They moved to stay with family in states where the schools were open. They sent their kids to private schools when private schools finally opened and public schools didn't, but they didn't speak up for the rest of the people. And I just felt like that was so particularly wrong from these people who marched for equity and said that they really cared about, you know, the underclass and anybody who's underprivileged. And yet they did what they had to do for their kid and they kind of left everybody else behind. They didn't say a word about any of it. They didn't say, okay, I am now pulling my kid from public school and sending them to private school, which a lot of people did because private schools were open. And I now support school vouchers to have everybody else be able to do the same thing as me. No, they didn't do that. They just sent their kids to private school or got them a pod or a tutor or whatever and left everybody else behind. And that's not the New Yorkers I know. Like, you can be left, you can be liberal, but like the New Yorkers that I knew growing up might have been on the left, but they absolutely would stand up for their neighbors. And what had shifted is that you were no longer allowed to speak up. And it's so blatant now that this cancel culture thing has seeped into everything, literally everything.
Look, did you get hit with a big tax bill you were not expecting? With rates still being very low and home equity being high, it's the perfect time to refinance and get some cash out of your home. Look, you could go to one of these woke banks, Citibank, Chase, where they hate you, they hate the country, and they hate Christianity. Or you could refinance right now all of your mortgage needs with my friends. Guess what? It's so easy to remember the website, andrewandtodd.com. Just write it now, andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They're people I know and trust and work with them, and you should too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com. It takes 30 seconds to answer a couple of questions. This gives them the information they need to give you valuable information, often on the first call. Andrew and Todd, they are not brokers. They are bankers, which means they handle your loan from start to finish, so you always have someone in your corner. Take that first step towards getting that cash you need today. AndrewandTodd.com. That's AndrewandTodd.com. Or call 888-888-1172. 888-888-1172. Do not use the banks that hate you. use Andrew and Todd. They will do a great job for you, everybody. AndrewandTodd.com. That's AndrewandTodd.com. That's a great description of it. You had both the woke infiltration and then COVID, which was kind of a safetyism regime that was implemented. Because I remember that New York, too. I mean, I remember it was America's city that was attacked by our enemies and came together. And it was chapter of heroism after heroism that elected Rudy Giuliani as its mayor. And, you know, for all of his downfalls, Michael Bloomberg, you know, looks like a rabid right winger compared to what we're dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
No, yeah. I mean, I would have Michael Bloomberg for another three terms if you wanted.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know if he's a wokey now, but he was unafraid to have more cops on the streets, and he was pro charter schools, and he wanted the streets to be clean. Yeah. And, and it was just kind of, I'm going to put New York first, and we love our city. And it really is kind of, and you'll definitely appreciate this. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that it's really thanks to ideology, right? I mean, it's a, and that's where I'm struggling. And maybe you can unpack this for me, or maybe not, where, okay, Park Slope, it's really nice, right near Prospect Park, you know, it's right near Brooklyn, you know, it's all the kind of stereotypical, like Goldman Sachs people that take chauffeured cars, maybe the subway, not anymore, you know, to go work at the Wall Street firm, but they, you know, they're back by 6:30 or 7. It's that kind of like, it's the suburb, but not really of, you know, of New York. I know the area really well. But at what point are they all of a sudden going to be like, yeah, we're actually living in a dystopia? Like, I mean, I get the ideologues, I get the AOCs, but someone who might just be kind of like a Hillary Clinton liberal, okay, who went to Wellesley or, you know, went to Fordham, and all of a sudden their daughter gets mugged. I mean, when does the ideology ever get challenged?
You really would think that it would get challenged at that point, but I am still on all the Park Slope boards and it really doesn't, because again, the woke thing has taken over everything. So you get mugged. It's look, it's really bad. You got mugged. Sorry that happened to you. But, you know, there are underprivileged people in this world, and that really, you know, your wallet like didn't really matter all that much to you, but it might matter a lot to somebody else. Now you think I'm joking.
No, I'm not. I actually am laughing because it's true.
I am not joking. So. And, you know, one of the ones that for me really stuck out. So summer 2020, this is a true story. I wish I had kept screenshots because I was just, it was too much of a crazy time, but I did send this to a lot of people. But it was a Facebook board, and there was a woman who was riding her bike in Park Slope, and she's Asian. And she said that this white older couple screamed racial epithets at her because she wasn't wearing a mask. And it was like the perfect Park Slope, like moment of like, which side do we take? Are we anti-racist or are we pro-mask? And so many were like, maybe you should have worn your mask, you know? And it was like, wow. Are you serious? This woman's telling you that she got yelled at. She was by herself on her bicycle. And, you know, and it was also the Stop Asian Hate moment, right? It was like, we weren't supposed to talk about that China did this thing, and it was being tied to these attacks on Asian Americans in this country, which, believe me, as somebody who was a Russian kid growing up in the 80s, I don't approve of in America in the 80s. And I get that, you know, there's a huge division between what China did and Asian Americans in America. But how come we couldn't stand up for this Asian woman who wasn't wearing a mask because she was yelled at by, you know, these masters? And these Park Slopers could not decide which side they should be on. It was amazing.
Well, it's just like when everyone got super confused when Dave Chappelle went after, you know, the Alphabet Mafia. They're like, oh, no, he can't do it. Like, he's a black person. Isn't he allowed to do that? Or it's like when Kyrie Irving was like, yeah, I'm not getting vaccinated. Like, you're a racist. Like, yeah, he's kind of a leader of a BLM thing. It's the ever-changing hierarchy of leftist wants, needs, and concerns. So just talk about you basically just left your home. I mean, a Russian community.
So I'm in South Florida, and it's amazing. My kids have not seen their masks since the day our plane landed here. Literally, I don't know where the masks are. They go to school every day. It is so beautiful and so sane. I credit a lot of it to Governor Ron DeSantis. I think a leader like him really kind of made his path, showing people the way back to normal. But, and I always say this, you can't move to another state for a politician. Anything could happen, right? He could, you know, lose the next election, which I hope doesn't happen, and run for president. I mean, any number of things are potentially could happen and take this great leader out of your life anyway. So you can't move for a politician. So I always say I moved because the Floridians showed me that they wanted normal, that they wanted put kids first. And I see that every single day in my neighbors and the friends I've made here and the community here. It's really, really sane.
It's the people. I totally agree. It's a different mindset. And
yeah,
it's if you think about it, this is what's so interesting. New York is substantially younger than the average Floridian. Yet the average Floridian is less afraid of a virus that they're actually at greater risk from.
That's right.
You have an average 35-year-old weirdo that went to NYU that is triple vaxxed and quadruple vaxxed. Well, that I won't hold that against you. And then you have like an 84-year-old guy in Boca Raton, and he's like, I'm just going to love life. You would think it would be the other way around. You would think that New York, like, where's the Woodstock energy? I don't know. Big tech is monitoring, censoring, mining, and selling your online information. And SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated, SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one application supporting your private connection with others of your choice. Safety brings together your friends, family, team, club business, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. The SquadPod application is encrypted, protecting your communications and content without annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I have gotten to know the SquadPod team quite well, and they are true patriots of the mission of dedicating themselves to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and other organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by visiting squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Is it true that your handle is at Carol on Twitter? Is that right?
That's right.
Would you get Twitter in like 2001 or something?
No, I really wasn't even that early an adopter with the Twitter. I thought it wasn't going to catch on. Whoops. But no, there was a time where you could just like email Twitter and say, hey, like, I see nobody's using this handle. You know, I see that they have it, but they don't use it. Can I have it? And they'd be like, yeah, sure, take it.
What a different world. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now they would kick you out for such a thing.
Okay. Now they would never respond. There's no email.
There's nothing.
Getting in touch with them at all, ever.
No, it's the black abyss. It's almost like it's a Politburo. So, okay, tell us, moms and dads are listening across the country. We talked about New York. Let's nationalize this. You're a parent. You're a mom. You move state to state. Let me ask you two questions. When do you move? When do you draw the line? When's the parent trigger? And if not that, what do you demand for?
Yeah. So for me, it was, I saw no end to the insanity. There was no normal. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. Even now, all these governors are like, we're going to drop the mask mandates. And some of them have even talking about schools. And, you know, they remember that kids exist in their states, but very few of them. Gavin Newsom, for example, obviously is not lifting anything for schools. But New York is still kind of caught in this, not sure what they're going to do ever about anything. So for me, it was like, I couldn't do this to my kids anymore. I needed to get them out. And I know I get emails all the time. It's funny because people say to me, like, why do you talk so much about moving to Florida? I get these, you know, nasty comments sometimes, but I can't explain what an avalanche of mail I got over this. And people saying to me, where should I go? I also want to leave. And it's not always New York. I get mail from all over the country. People saying, I can't take this anymore. I have to get out of here. I have to go somewhere sane. So I think everybody has their own kind of barometer for when they can't take it anymore. And I think you have to put your kids first. You have to give them the life that they were promised, which was just a normal, sane life. Little things like I mentioned this on Twitter a few days ago, but like my son's school in Florida has a book fair next week while their grandparents happen to be in town. So my mother-in-law is going to take my sons to their book fair at their school. I don't know if that happens in 2030 in New York. And I'm not even kidding. Like,
that
it's just,
is such
it's
an
not
important
even
point.
It's not on the horizon. It's like not even in the discussion that parents will be allowed into the school building. And this will all be maskless, but even masks, forget about it. Like, fine, mask. That's not happening in a lot of these blue areas for a really long time.
So the used car salesman that barely won the election in New Jersey, who calls himself a governor, Phil Murphy, who missed his calling being a wannabe soprano actor. So he said, let's play cut 51. He announced lifting the mask mandate. Play cut 51.
There's no question that masking in our schools since the beginning of the school year has been a very smart public health step. I think we've had just over 2,600 cases of students with COVID positive since the beginning of the school year. That's out of 1.4 million kids. So it's a pretty stark piece of evidence, I think, that this has absolutely worked.
But that's not enough, is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, the fact that he has absolutely no evidence, there's no question, but there's actually also just no data on this. Masks in school have been a complete failure. I think that we can look to a lot of European countries where they never masked kids at all to see that we did not need to be masking kids in school. I'm glad these governors are finally seeing the political writing on the wall. We have to hold them accountable. I'm a very even-keeled, calm person, but I'm very serious about this. We cannot let them skate on what they did to us for the last 2 years, because they will do it again, and much, much sooner than you might believe. We're going to have spikes again. COVID is here to stay. In the summer, we might see it in the South. In the winter, we might see it back in the Northeast. They're going to bring back masks unless we make them face the reality that masking was always pointless. The cloth masks we wear, the surgical masks we wear, all pointless. And the fact that they still will have this power over us should be deeply concerning to a lot of Americans. They will continue to use this power against us. They've had a taste of real power, and there's no way to letting
totally
it go
agree.
Now.
That's right. And you know that. Your family lived it. And they don't give up power lightly. Carol Markowitz, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.